5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes. I'm here with my good buddy Doug McCary. Cody behind the wheel. It's going to be a great day today, Doug. We got a special guest.
Yeah, I'm very excited because, you know, I've probably used this book that Kent wrote more than any other book with men, I think, probably. And I was just looking at my favorite copy. I think he's updated a couple of times, but the one that I really like was the 10th anniversary edition was back in 2001. That's 17 years ago.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Doug. I don't know if I told you this, but and I think you were in Texas at this time when we at church started to develop our men's discipleship program.
Yeah.
And Disciplines of a Godly Man was one of the three books we chose to use.
Well, and they use it. I think still they still use it on Wednesday
Absolutely.
Nights there.
Yeah, well, still use it today.
Well,
it's impacted me. I know hundreds of men who've been involved in that ministry have been impacted by the teaching and preaching and the writing of Kent Hughes.
Well, Dr. Hughes is really, I think, made a significant impact. I want to read a couple of quotes and then just introduce him. I'll introduce his background. Over 40 years in ministry, and I don't know exactly the number, but I know he's over 40 years. He was pastor for many of those years in Chicago at College Church. He was where he was a senior pastor. He is the teaching professor of practical theology at Westminster. And that's where he serves now. And he's been on the board of Americans United for Life, which is the legal arm of the pro-life movement. He's been involved with World Radio Missionary Fellowship on their board, Operation Mobilization.
Ligonier.
Ligonier, Crossway Books. I didn't know this as I was looking that he was actually served with Youth for Christ as a club director. And, you know, Leighton Ford was my mentor, mm-hmm. and Leighton was very involved with Youth for Christ. I did know, about his incredible heart for expository preaching. And he's now published numbers of books, but he's also helped write and publish Preaching the Word series, which is a commentary series. And I was talking to a pastor before I came on who said is one of the best pastoral commentaries out there. And there's not a lot of pastoral commentaries. A lot of them are just theological and technical. So, but a couple of quick quotes.
Hey, by the way, did you say Disciplines of a Godly Man has been around since 91.
Oh, yeah. But the one that I remember was like the 10th anniversary edition, and it was published in 2001. But I think, the early 90s. But here's a quote. It's impossible for any Christian who spends the bulk of his evenings month after month, week upon week, day in and day out, watching the major television networks or contemporary videos to have a Christian mind. This is always true of all Christians in every situation. A biblical mental program cannot coexist with worldly programming. I love
it. Of course, he also says television has greater power over the lives of most Americans than any educational system, government, or church.
Yeah. Well, and then this one about children. Men are never manlier than when they are tender with their children, whether holding a baby in their arms, loving their grade schooler, or hugging their teenager or adult children.
Oh, you had to go there.
I know. Isn't that great? But anyway, Dr. Hughes, welcome to SWAT Radio.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
So glad you could join us today. And you are going to be speaking at First Baptist Church coming up, I think, is it next week, Brad? Is this the 28th? The end of the month. You're going to be speaking there at this pastor's conference, which there's quite a litany of speakers. But I was very excited to see you on board there just because of your heart for expository preaching.
Well, I'm excited to do it. My text is 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5, shouldering the cross of shepherding. And I'm going to lay out what the text has to say for the men that are there. It's going to be a good time.
Well, now you officially retired as a senior pastor, but you're still very involved in ministry and mentoring and doing a lot of that stuff. Could you just take a minute to kind of, I mean, I could read all of your accomplishments, but I would like to hear just your personal background. I know you've been married because your wife wrote a book called Disciplines of a Godly Woman, correct? Or y'all wrote it together?
Yes, she did.
And so how long have you been married?
Well, I've been married 55 years.
That's quite a long time. That's quite an accomplishment.
We got a ways to go.
Yeah, I know. I was feeling pretty good about 34. Now I'm going, wow, 55. And she's still with you, huh?
She's still with me. We've got 26 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. So life is busy no matter what I'm doing.
Oh, wow. Man. Well, so Doug, you got four grandchildren?
I got three and one, a fourth on the way, yeah.
So, Dr. All Hughes, right. I just had my second grandchild, and and we're kind of the same way. We have five kids, and we're hoping they all duplicate. So that'd put us at 25. Not quite where you are, but we're close.
Yeah, you'll probably do it.
So I remember in the foreword of your book, Disciplines of a Godly Man, you dedicated that to your boys. How many children do you have?
I have two sons and two son-in-laws.
Okay.
And so it was dedicated to those four men.
Those four, yeah. I remember that. And we were just talking about it before you came on, asking, was it in 91 that it was published?
Yes. In fact, you're talking to me as I just turned in the manuscript or edited manuscript for the 25th anniversary edition. So It's going to be coming out in a year.
Well, I tell you, I think when I think of men, Brad and I like to read, we're Christian book readers as far as, especially I like reading books that I call have a lot of practical application. And I think of, Packer's book, Knowing God. It was very, very, when I think of Packer, I think of that book. When I think of you, I think Disciplines of a Godly Man. And mm-hmm. I know you may get tired of that, but, God gave you that in a sense to give to the world because it's been used by so many men.
Yeah. I should tell you, you'll get a kick out of this. I usually do just straight up biblical exposition week after week after week. And my staff back then said, you ought to do something topical. I says, I don't do topical stuff. I'm just doing biblical exposition. And they kept pushing me. And a friend of mine said, if you're going to do a topical series, do something that burns in your bones. Mm-hmm. So I went home and told my wife. And she said, I think that's a good idea, that do something on disciplines. And then she said to me, do it for men. Don't do it for women. Because men need it more than women.
Amen. Yeah. That is so true. Well, isn't it interesting, Dr. Hughes, Doug, when you think about, I still remember going through this book the first time, and again, probably dated back 2001, somewhere around there, and realizing how you compared it to, working out physically, like a gymnasium. And that idea, when you take that idea and you expand it over all the things of life, especially for men. Look at the areas of life that we will discipline ourselves to be excellent at.
Well, it's absolutely true. In fact, in the new updated edition, I give more examples out of the athletic world, like David Beckham and his famous kick, bend it like Beckham. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how, as he was a boy, he'd come home from school and go to the East a park in the East End of London, and he would take several balls and he would kick them and he'd go pick them up and he'd kick them again until he got that knuckleball perfected. And he said it was all work in that park in London. And then if you take the great Wayne Gretzky, he talks about how he watched hockey on national television in Canada and his father would have him chart all the angles so that he's a guy who would see the puck go one way and know where it's going to be three moves from that time. So he was there waiting. And he said, if you want to compliment me, he says, you can compliment me on my work ethic. So this whole discipline thing I mean, it's in culture, in athletics, it's in academia, it's in music, and it's in the spiritual life.
Well, Dr. Hughes, I was in the military and also was an athlete. And so when I read your book, one of the things I liked about it was this idea of discipline that sometimes I think there's a movement now that associates discipline almost with legalism.
And it's
really been detrimental, I think, to people striving. I mean, when you see in the scriptures, when it says strive for the holiness through which no one will see God, I mean, to me, that means that there is an effort on our part that doesn't grant us anything favor with God, but it's something we should be about. Could you speak to that for a second?
Yeah, I can. First of all, the classic text on discipline is 1 Timothy 4:7. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, for it holds promise in this present world and the world to come. That's the text. And the word discipline in the Greek, you can hear it. It's gymnazo, where we get gymnasium from.
Uh-huh.
So it's a word with a lot of sweat in it. I mean, it's right there in the scriptures. And here's the deal, is that the difference between legalism and discipline is there's a universe between the two, because legalism says, I'm going to do this thing in order to gain merit with God, or have God treat me in a certain way, or show his grace to me. Whereas discipline says, I love God and I want to please him. So the motivations are totally different. Mm-hmm. And people need to understand that. And then if they still argue with me about discipline, I'll say, the Apostle Paul hated legalism. Mm. He fought the legalists bare knuckles all the way across Asia Minor repeated times. And he said, in fact, when he talked about the legalists, he talked about a different gospel, which was a legalistic gospel. He said, anyone preach a different gospel, let them be accursed, damned. Mm-hmm. And so he hated legalism, but he said, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness.
Yeah.
We have to take what the scriptures say.
Yeah. That's great.
So true. Well, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking of Paul, Ephesians, where he says, walk in a manner worthy.
Well, he says that like in four different books. Yeah, where he says that.
I think about even in my own home. If you're going to come spend time with me in my home, there's a way you need to walk in my home. Well, mm-hmm. we're in the kingdom, and there's a way we're called to walk. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take a quick break, Dr. Hughes. Can you hang on just a little while? We're going to do a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Hey, when we come back, Dr. Hughes, so you can chew on this.
Yeah.
Why are you a pastor? Chew on that. All right? And I want to follow up when we come back off the break.
Great. Join us today, SWAT Radio. You can go to our website at www.swatradio.com. Check us out on our app. That's SWAT Radio as well. And Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those things we know nothing about. But you can check us out there either way. Join us after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary. Our special guest today, Dr. R. Kent Hughes. And by the way, Doug, I mean, you and I obviously have read this book and other books of Dr. Hughes, but I know you and I are both very passionate about this one, The Disciplines of a Godly Man. And you were touching on this idea of legalism versus just discipline. Mm-hmm. And yeah. there's a statement here that says, at the heart of spiritual discipline is a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
Well, it is. And, you know, I just real quick, if you're listening today and I'm telling you as a guy, this book was very, very helpful to me in starting my spiritual disciplines, because until I read this book, I didn't really have a plan or I didn't have a structure. And I think a lot of times it's helpful for us guys to have structure. Like for me at home, my wife gets frustrated a lot of times because she has to tell me what to do. I don't know if you ever struggle with that, Dr. Hughes, but I mean, for me, I'm not, I, if she gives me a list, man, I'll knock it out and everything will be good. But for a long time, she wanted me to know what I needed to do. And I'm like, listen, I struggle with that. If you just lay it out, just tell me what I need to do.
Hey, Doug, my wife was going to listen today.
but I love the way you do it. In the book, you got a chapter on relationships where you talk about purity, marriage, fatherhood, and friendship. And then on soul, the mind, devotion, prayer, and worship. And then character, integrity, tongue, work, and perseverance. And then ministry, church, leadership, giving, witness, and then the grace of discipline. And then you give resources at the back, which I really loved. And that, you know, going through that McShane calendar for reading was one of the first read through the Bibles I did. It was really helpful. And so I know you get thanked a lot, but it was a great thing for me to be able to use with guys. And I know, Brad, you've used it a lot.
Well, and Dr. Hughes, I'm sure you've heard this as well. It, you know, even though I went through it. Goodness, I mean, it was a long time ago.
Yeah,
it is still so impactful. Mm-hmm. Doug and I both really have a passion to disciple men, and I think your wife gave you good counsel.
Yeah.
To write something for men, because today
it's
needed more than ever. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest challenges that I see is when I meet with a man for the first time. The first thing I want to know: what are you reading? What are you renewing your mind in? Because your mind is getting renewed somewhere, and so
right.
few of them are renewing their mind in anything of any substance at all.
Well, you know, another thing, there was another book called Liberating Ministry from the Success Syndrome that was also, your wife was there with you, and I know that has ministered to a lot of people as well. Could you speak about that? Because, I mean, we've kind of, hopefully guys are going to get Disciplines of a Godly Man. They'll go to Amazon and get that. In fact, I sent two copies out yesterday to guys that called in. But Liberating Ministry, I've heard a lot of good things from other people as well about. Could you speak about what the genesis for that was?
Yeah, the genesis when I was, it was after I had a decade of youth pastoring, and I was involved in planting a new church in the North Orange County area of Los Angeles. And everybody told me, as the fair-haired boy who'd been doing youth ministry, that my church was going to take off. And I really got off to a great start, had, about 20 families and got it going. But after a few years, it was shrinking rather than growing. And I got to the deepest, darkest time of my life. Now, I'm not a depressive. I'm not that kind of a person, but I really felt like I was the butt of a cruel joke. And so I wanted to quit. And so I told my wife one night, I opened up and told her what was going on inside of me. Now, I'm married to a good woman. And so I poured out all these things about statistics and people and failures and my attitude and that sort of thing. And she listened to me. So I unloaded myself and she said to me, "Hang on to my faith. I've got enough faith for both of us."
Wow.
And there's a story of events, but it took me back to the drawing boards, and we sat down together. I repented, and I said, "I've got to define what biblical success is, and I've got to define it from the Bible, nowhere else." And so I began a search. And I don't want to take your time with all the principles, but I came to understand that it's required of a steward that he be faithful, mm-hmm. and that I needed to be faithful. Mm-hmm. And the way I could be faithful was to be obedient to God's word and hard working. Says in the parable of the talents, the guy that did nothing, he says, "You lazy, wicked servant." And so I realized, regardless of where I was, I could be obedient to the scriptures and hardworking. I could be faithful, regardless of the size of my church. Mm-hmm. And then I realized what I'd always known, that you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And that Jesus says, that's the great commandment. There's no success apart from loving him with your whole heart. And so I began to see that. And then I saw where Jesus washed his disciples' feet and said, "If I've washed your feet, how much more ought you to wash one another's feet, serve one another?" And so I realized I needed a foot-washing heart, a serving heart. And so I began to see these things unfold in Scripture, that I needed to be a man of prayer. I needed to be a man of purity. I needed to be a man who is free of envy. And so it kind of all came together with a biblical definition of what success is. And it was liberating. And so that book's been out for years, and I get letters all the time from all over the world, from missionaries, pastors, and other people in Christian work, thanking me for how God moved in my life in a very difficult time to write that book.
Yeah, again, the name of that book is Liberating Ministry from the Success Syndrome. I think you can still get it at Amazon. Did that lead to your pastor's book? Because I know you have a book called The Pastor's Book, A Comprehensive Guide to Pastoral Ministry as well.
No, that was, actually fairly recent. And the publisher, which is Crossway Books, came to me and said, "Would you write a book on pastoring?" And I said, "Well, I'd never thought about it, but I will." And so I went home and spent a couple of weeks working on what are all the things that I would want to know as a pastor and have them be put into a book.
Is that mastering the pastoral role?
No, it's the pastor's book is the name of the book.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the pastor's book. I think it's about 500 pages, published by Crossway.
Yeah.
It's got everything you need to have as a pastor.
It's a reference book. I mean, it is literally a reference book. But
we want to come back to your question.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk to him, but we won't have time before the break. I just want to because that's going to be a longer answer. But I did want to say something. You know, when you were sharing about a stewardship and servant, it reminded me of John Stott's book on biblical preaching. When his biblical preaching today, where he basically lays out these five characteristics of the preacher, and he starts with stewardship. And sometimes I think we lose sight of that fact, that it's a stewardship. It is not our ministry. It's his ministry, you know, and
said it exactly as it is, that we're stewards of the mystery. And we're to conduct ourselves that way, but it's not our ministry. It's not our unfolding of the mystery. It's His.
I think of 2 Timothy 1:14, where it talks about guard the good deposit entrusted to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, the reason I want you to I think about that question of why you're a pastor, I was talking to a pastor, and a lot of times we see pastors that, you know, basically one every pastor goes through ups and downs. Every pastor deals with I don't know if it's depression, but it's certainly depressing thoughts of your world crashing around you. You think you're doing everything right, but you just, nothing seems to, it's almost Job-like, you know, where you're getting attacked from without, you're getting attacked from within. And, yep. And this, why are you a pastor is a really important question. And when we come back, cause we're about to go to a break, on the half hour, we got a hard news break. How long we got, okay. Cody? 2 minutes? We got about 2 minutes. In fact, if you want to start, we can, and I'll, Brad or I'll or jump in. But how have you endured to be so faithful, Dr. Hughes? Listen, everybody knows pastors are human and they're flawed, but you, there really is a standard to be a leader, elder, pastor, I think, in a church. And you have done that, just like Stephen Olford did that and finished well. And how have you endured to be faithful?
Well, I would say, first of all, and I've got to be careful how I say it, but that I knew I was called to the pastoral ministry. And I think that we get called in all different kinds of ways. So if I talk about my experience, it can't be normative for somebody else.
Okay.
But there was no doubt in my mind that I was called to do it. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a requiring thing, but knowing that, there's been no way that I could back away from it. I mean, that is knowing you're called. I have to be careful how I say that, because guys can get called when they're out in a golf game. Somebody else can have a real heavy duty religious emotional experience in church, and so calls come in different way.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that I was called. And that it was woe at me if I didn't preach the gospel.
Mm.
And so that is what I grounded it on. And then there's a number of things that I can talk about in the call and continuance in pastoral ministry that will keep somebody going if they really understand.
Yeah, that's what when we come back from the break, I'd like you to do that, because what keeps one man in the ministry and expunges another? That right. Think about that. We're going to come back after this hard break for the news, and I'd love for you to address that.
Okay.
Our guest, Dr. R. Kent Hughes, joining us today, author, pastor. If you want to well, we're not going to take any calls today, Doug, yeah. So I'd just like to leave it that way. But if you want to check us out, go to SWAT Radio. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary. And we have a special guest, Dr. R. Kent Hughes, on with us. By the way, before we went on the break, I mentioned that we're not going to take calls today. But I do want to let our listeners know, you can send us an email. If you have a question for Dr. Hughes or for Doug or myself, you can send that to ask@swatradio.com. We may get to it on the air today, but we will get to it, and we will get an answer for that. I also want to mention Dr. Hughes is going to be speaking Thursday, January 25th, at the Jacksonville Pastors Conference here in Jacksonville. And by the way, Dr. Hughes, I don't know if you know your time, but your tea time is 8 o'clock that day.
So. That's what I hear.
Got you on the blocks early.
You'll be following Eric Geiger, and which Eric's quite a guy. And by the way, I do want to let our listeners know, tomorrow, so usually Thursday's our guest day, and obviously we've got our guest. We're going to have another guest tomorrow, Sean McDowell, who is Josh McDowell's son. Mm-hmm. He also will be at the pastor's
conference. He's also a professor. He's out at Biola as well. And didn't you teach at Biola for a while?
Well, here's the deal. I went to seminary with Josh McDowell, his dad.
Mm. Well, you know what's funny
is that where was that?
That was at Talbot okay. Seminary.
Yep.
Way
yep.
back.
Yep.
Well, I was telling when I was setting that up with Sean that the last time I saw Josh was at Amsterdam 2000. I was over there with him, and we were talking, and we had known each other through East West Ministries, which is a ministry to Russia, because, you know, Josh was very well received as evangelical stuff over in Russia, and we used it a lot. But I haven't seen him in 17 years, and now it's weird that his son is teaching out there. I just made me feel old. So, but anyway, hey, getting back to why are you a pastor and what keeps one man in the ministry and expunges another question, can you expound kind of a little bit? I agree with you. I felt that call. I mean, woe is me if I don't preach. I feel that way personally. Yeah. I have to preach. I love to preach and exposit. It is hard, but talk to us about that. You know, aspect.
Okay. Well, there are some times when it is a little tough in preaching. Charles Spurgeon said there were times when he'd rather take a beating than step into the pulpit. You know, he felt such trepidation about what he had to say and what was going to happen. So it can be a little tough. But I think you'll find this really interesting. I hosted a conference years ago at College Church in which I had a really great speaker. And so we were sitting there and we were talking about it. And he said, they asked him, what kept him in the ministry? And he said, it's because I get saved every week. Mm-hmm. And I thought, saved every week, you know, what is this? This doesn't quite fit my theology. Well, it was a kind of a come on, because what he did is take us to 1 Timothy 4:16, where Paul says to Timothy, give close attention to your life and your doctrine, and you will save both yourself and your hearers. So Paul is saying, you pay attention to your moral life, the quality of it, the way you live, and your doctrine, your teaching, and your ministry will have a saving effect. And there's a sense in which when you preach week after week after week and you're opening the scriptures, you're constantly, I won't say getting saved, but you're being sanctified and elevated and amazed by God's word. Mm-hmm. And so I found that to be true, that one of my keys to longevity was that I would preach through books of the Bible, one text after another, find myself constantly amazed. In fact, I used to say to myself, I found my congregation found the most wonderful text. And after about a year of that, they said, Pastor, you say that every week. And so it's because that's how I felt. So I would say one of the keys to the ministry is opening the word, having your own soul fed, being amazed, and feeding your people. The second thing is working with people and seeing them develop, whether it's colleagues that are working with you, where you see them really start to get wings and fly spiritually. I mean, that's a beautiful thing to be there and see that take place. So that's a second thing. The other is just preaching the gospel and seeing people come to Christ and over the years beginning to see the baptisms and the lives changed and the marriages, presiding at marriages where the couple came to Christ, say, under your ministry over the years. So those are reasons that'll keep you going in the ministry outside the call. Well, those are just some.
Well, I remember talking to one, you know, when you were with Youth for Christ, did you ever get a chance to meet Leighton Ford by chance?
No, I missed meeting him. I met Billy Graham a couple of times, but not Leighton Ford.
Leighton was one of the first real teachers for me and preaching. He was one of the first guys. He and then, of course, some of the Billy Graham stuff out of Wheaton. And but one of the things that really struck me about what they were building into me was what you said. It's the ethos of the preacher. It is preaching it to yourselves. And I've been teaching, we have five, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And our goal is basically to teach through each week. We've been teaching through, we started in John and then went into Timothy. And then now we're in Matthew. We've been in Matthew a year, and there's five Bible studies a week.
We got a long way to go.
Yeah,
too,
and I'm just starting Matthew 10. But I cannot tell you how much I've grown in my own personal life from teaching this every day. It's almost like every time I'm teaching it to myself. And, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of dismissing expository teaching in our culture today, like it's not relevant. I've even heard people say, you know, I want somebody to tell me what I need to do, not what the Bible says, like that. Yeah. You know, can you speak to that? Because I know you travel all over the country, and this is a big thing for you. What are you seeing with this younger generation of preachers coming up? Do you see a trend going back to expository preaching? Is it something that we need to be waving the battle flag for? What's happening right now?
Well, I'll speak to that on several levels. One is, I've been involved with an organization. In fact, I was the founding director of it and supportive of Dave, called the Simeon Trust, which teaches expository preaching. And so we've got about 50 or 60 workshops going across the United States under the Simeon Trust, which is under the leadership of David Helm. And we can't, we can't expand the workshops fast enough, because there is a hunger.
That's good.
For biblical exposition and teaching it right and doing it well. And then, speaking to what you were talking about, the Puritan Richard Baxter said that we should not preach a sermon until we preached it to ourselves first and applied it to our lives. And I like to tell people that when I'm sitting in the study and I'm opening the text and the text is speaking to me, it is plowing my heart, deep bleeding furrows in my heart. And I'm asking God for help. I'm asking God to make it real in my life, because if it's not real in my life, at least if I'm not sympathetic to it and don't desire it, I mean, if I have to passionately want it, if I want it, then I can stand in front of my people and feed them the word. So,
Dr. Hughes, I was thinking the same thing. How do you feed somebody else if you haven't eaten it yourself?
That's it. In fact, you're saying the words of one of the other great Puritans. He said, you've got to eat the word yourself, lest you offer them the bread of life that you haven't tasted. And so when you're feeding on it and your heart is being plowed and your spirit's being uplifted, and you go to speak to your people, then you are speaking the truth of God's word as it's mediated through your own heart. So it goes out not just head to head, but heart to heart out of God's word. And that'll never bore anybody.
That's good. Now at this Simeon Trust, do you teach at these, or is David one of the guys that who teaches at these different workshops?
David Helm is the executive director, and they have a basic teaching that they teach at a primary workshop, and then they'll bring somebody in like me to talk about, say, preaching 2 Corinthians or preaching the wisdom literature or preaching the Gospels or preaching the Psalms. And the beauty of it is that we break up into groups and work on how we would teach that text, so that when you go away, it's not just listening, but you've been taught, it's been illustrated, you work it out in groups, and it's going fantastic, and it's actually taken off in the third world big time too.
Well, I just I went to the website. By the way, it's Simeon, S-I-M-E-O-N, trust.org.
Yeah.
And if you're listening via podcast later, just go to www.simeon, S-I-M-E-O-N, trust.org. The only problem I see here is there's no Florida workshops yet. So we've got to add Florida to your workshops list, okay?
I'll tell you what, you talk to those guys, it might happen real fast. So.
Okay, well, hey, listen, we've got to go to the final break here, but I want you to think about this. When you come back, I want you to speak to some resources for pastors and men, but and thinking of those two things separately, I remember you hearing you one time in an interview talk about a Graham Goldworthy book that had a tremendous impact on you. And called, I think it was God and Kingdom. Is that right? Or
Gospel and Kingdom.
Gospel and Kingdom. I'm sorry. Gospel and Kingdom. Yeah. So think about pastoral resources that have significantly impacted you as a pastor and as a man, other resources that might be out there. So thank you for being a part.
And yeah, just in advance, before we end this show, and we got 15 more minutes, but what an honor it is to have you, Dr. Hughes.
Well, it's my privilege. Thank you. You're so kind. Encouraging.
Well, and just want to also make another statement that First Baptist Church, January 25th, Dr. Hughes will be preaching that night, and I'll be there.
Doug, I'll be there. You? I'm going to be there.
Hopefully, we'll see you guys.
Yeah, hopefully we'll meet. Join us after the break, SWATradio.com.
Okay.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928. Or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on The Truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. It's a celebration, by the way. Hey, Brad Sykes here with Doug McCary, special guest, Dr. Kent Hughes. By the way, Dr. Hughes, I'm on that website, the Charles Simeon Trust, and I didn't need another website to go surfing on. This is amazing. I mean, just these courses that are available, that's exciting. Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Hughes, I just want to, I do want to say one thing, because Brad and I, even though, you know, one of the things I learned from Layton, it was called occasional mentoring, or even mentoring through books, you know, even though we've never met, you had an impact through your book on Brad and I and men that we've actually discipled. And and so I'm very appreciative of that. And I want to say to you, as somebody who, you know, you don't get to have the benefit of knowing how you've impacted people and how the kingdom's continuing. But we have, like I said, these five Bible studies that we lead down here, and we have this radio program. And I think Disciplines of a Godly Man was a big part of it, too. You know, and I just want to thank you again, and let you know that going along with 2 Timothy 2:2, that we're looking for those faithful men to continue on passing it on. So,
well, brothers, this is fun to do. So you want to ask me about some books or resources? Or
Gospel and Kingdom. Tell us first, why did that impact you so much?
Well, I've been preaching for a number of years, and I had never thought about the importance of Luke 24, the 24th chapter, the final chapter of Luke, and the road to Emmaus, where the disciples are walking along downcast because Jesus has been crucified, and they don't know what's happened to him, and they're worrying about it. And Jesus comes up and speaks to his discouraged disciples on Resurrection Day. And this is in Luke 24:25, and it says, "And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory?" And then it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So Jesus, post-resurrection, begins with Moses, and he says, "This is where Moses spoke of me. This is where Genesis spoke of me. This is where Genesis spoke again. This is where Exodus spoke of me. This is where he spoke of me in the tabernacle. This is where he spoke of me at the Day of Atonement." And he walked him all the way through scriptures, showing who he was, that he was spoken of. And so this is what Gospel and Kingdom does, is shows you the redemptive historical line that shows Christ in all the scriptures. And it's not in some sort of, where you make up a typology, but where you see it in the events, the people, what happens, the ceremonies, where you see Christ. And it was so enriching to my preaching to see how I could preach Christ in all of scriptures. It just elevated my preaching, made it more Christ-centered.
Well, I when I heard you say that, I ordered it. I just ordered it because as I was getting ready for today, I was going back and I actually was researching some of the older interviews that you had had. And, I've heard Graham Goldsworthy's name before and some quotes from him. I've even quoted him. But I had not read that book, but I ordered it now, so that's on my to-read list.
You'll love it. It's a small little book that just shows you the gospel and the kingdom and how Christ is in all the scriptures. It's wonderful.
Well, one of the things, Dr. Hughes, I've been leading groups over to Israel, and as I've gone over there, I've been doing more reading about the Jewishness of Jesus, even though I'd had some courses before that had brought that out. I didn't really apply as much of it to the context of the New Testament and realized, could you see Jesus through Middle Eastern eyes by Bailey and misreading scripture through Western eyes? As you exposit, how have those affected you, or that context of the Jewishness of Jesus impacted your exposition over the years?
Well, because I've always done close exposition where I read the text, I translate it through for myself, I look at things, and I go to the backgrounds, I read it in its context. I can say, especially since I've the Gospel of Luke, where you take those opening narratives about Christ and you've got Zechariah and Elizabeth in the temple, you've got all of that background. And so it's just a matter of paying attention to it. And Bailey's books have been great helpful in the parables, but we always want to set it in its historical context the best we can, responsibly. We don't want to imagine the context, but we need to know where they were in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know what was going on in the temple. We need to know chronologically what was going on in the religious calendar of Israel at that time. And when you put all those things together and you see, say, Zechariah and Elizabeth in their Jewishness, John the Baptist is like Elijah revived, and You see the Jordan, you see the people coming together, then you kind of have, you can get the aroma of what is going on, and it'll help you with your preaching.
That's good. Well, there's a trend right now to dismiss the shepherding analogy from Scripture as applying to the pastors in America.
Yes, sir.
There's actually, believe it or not,
more of an emphasis on CEO.
It's being a CEO, he has more of a CEO role. And I thought it was interesting that you actually spoke to this in one of your interviews about the specialist mentality. But I don't want to focus on that as much as I was really disagreeing as I listened to them talk about this. And there's actually a couple of books out about it now. But the shepherding analogy is all throughout Scripture. Am I off base in thinking that that still applies to us, even though we're in America?
First of all, the shepherd analogy is rooted deeply in Ezekiel 34, where the shepherds of Israel are failing, and they say they're going to send them another shepherd. And it's speaking of Christ at the end of Ezekiel 34 as the shepherd. And then in you come to the New Testament, and you have the 10th chapter of John, which is about the good shepherd. You get to 1 Peter that I'm going to be preaching from, and it says, shepherd the flock of God. There's a command to shepherd the flock of God, and you do it as under the archepoimos, that is the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so shepherding is a metaphor which is inspired by the Bible and is rooted deep in the Old Testament and flows right through the New Testament. It is a title of Christ. It's a title of those that serve under him. And anybody that wants to set that aside in favor of some sort of a CEO metaphor is really shortchanging the Bible and the church.
I think so too, and that's why I wanted to have you speak to it so that it would be in the podcast from now on, because I just want to make sure I think it's very much a part. And I also thought of the Ezekiel passage, in fact, right before we broke.
We just returned from Israel, Dr. Hughes, and we actually had the opportunity to meet a true shepherd. And I was so caught off guard, really, by the idea that he said a good shepherd, a shepherd, knows his flock so well that when he puts his hand on the back of that sheep, he knows it by name.
Well, that would be the kind of intimate relationship. I mean, what the metaphor speaks to, there is something really amazing at the end of Ezekiel 34, and it's where the shepherds have been unfaithful.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really fascinating because it says that he's going to send a new shepherd, and I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Well, the interesting thing is that David has been dead 400 years when he says this, and what he's talking about is the ultimate son of David is going to come and shepherd his people. So it's a prophecy of Christ in Ezekiel as the ultimate shepherd. I'm speaking of Ezekiel 34, 23, and 24.
When we finished up Matthew 9, I actually made the comment that when Jesus said they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd, that would have caught those people. They were Jews that Matthew was writing to. That might have taken them back to Ezekiel, to that very passage, you know?
Well, I think so. And it's Christ is the ultimate David, the ultimate son of David, the ultimate shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? A shepherd feeds his sheep out of the word. He protects his sheep by warning them. And he tenderly cares for his sheep. That's the call.
Well, hey, Dr. Hughes, our time is over, and I'm sad. I could do this for another week because I'd love especially getting into this stuff. But thank you for giving us the time today. Thank you for coming to Jacksonville. And Brad and I are going to look forward to seeing you at First Baptist Church when you come speak.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Hey, we'll see you Thursday, January 25th in Jacksonville. Thanks again, Dr. Hughes. And thank you for listening. For our listeners out there, we'll be back tomorrow. SWAT Radio will have Joshua. Who's going to be on?
It's going to be
Sean McDowell.
Sean McDowell and Trey Brunson.
And Trey.
Trey's going to be on after Sean, and they'll be talking about that. And again, Dr. Hughes, we pray for you and your ministry. Thank you, and blessings as you continue to hold up exposition.
SWAT Radio.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.